This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later in the hour, we'll talk about the new energy bill that is stalled in the Senate. But first, an update. Back in July of 2001, we spoke with a researcher in Boston about a novel diabetes treatment that she and her colleagues developed. They figured out a way in mice to stop the body's immune system from attacking its own insulin-producing cells, which is what happens in type 1 diabetes. And once they did that, insulin levels in the mice increased, and the mice were no longer diabetic. The researchers had cured the diabetic mice, but they weren't exactly sure how they did it. Now they know. Their report is published in the journal Science, and the research team leader joins us now to talk about these findings. Dr. Denise Faustman is an associate professor of medicine at Harvard Med School and the director of the immunobiology lab at the Mass General Hospital in Boston. She joins us today by phone from her office. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Faustman.
Thank you for inviting me.
Let's go back a little bit before we talk about this paper. Remind us of your earlier work. How are you able to eliminate the immune response that leads to diabetes?
Yes, thank you for asking that question. The way we did it was to identify two new compounds that could actually kill the bad white blood cells that were killing the insulin-secreting cells.
Mm-hmm. And then once you did that and you found what the compounds were, how did you then cure the mice?
Well, we treated these animals for a short time period with these two compounds. And, of course, we thought that we needed to put back in the insulin-secreting cells. And we did that, and the animals became normal glycemic or had normal blood sugars. So we were very pleased, but there was a surprise, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was.
So the surprise was that as a finale to the experiment, we decided to take out the insulin-secreting cells to prove that they were functional. We did that, and the expected outcome was the blood sugars of these mice were predicted to head up or become hyperglycemic, but that's not what happened at all.
No, you started seeing just the opposite, right?
Yes, these animals remained healthy, and we kept following them, and they had normal blood sugars, so a big question remained, and that question was, why are these animals still normal glycemic? It was a good question to have, of course.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't really know the answer at that point.
No, we didn't. And we had to go on a hunt to try to figure out how we could have normal blood sugars without an islet cell transplant.
And you discovered?
Well, we discovered and just reported in Science that it turns out that these animals can actually regrow or regenerate the insulin-secreting cells in the pancreas. And you'll remember that most organs in the body don't regrow when you're an adult animal.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. We're talking with Dr. Faustman about this work. So they were able to regenerate the cells, and I remember we speculated at that time.
We did. There was really two ideas of how these insulin-secreting cells reappeared. One thought was that they were rescued, meaning that they were dead and dying cells and that they were around, but we couldn't identify them and that we had rescued them by the therapy. The other idea was that they actually had regrown. And so in this new data, we actually show that the spleen can contribute some of the progenitor cells that help in the regrowth.
Wow. Would we call these stem cells?
Well, I'm a little cautious at using that term. To me, the word stem cell means that we know that this new cell in the spleen can regrow many organs. And right now, we just know that it can regrow the insulin-secreting cells and part of the pancreatic ducts.
When you say a new cell in the spleen, is that a newly discovered one that you discovered?
Yes. So as everybody knows, the spleen really didn't have too good a function. It was sitting there. Many people recognized it as kind of a bag of lymphoid cells or white blood cells and red blood cells. It didn't have another function, but we found a new population of cells in the spleen that can rapidly regenerate the islets in the pancreas.
Well, so then what is the mechanism then for type 1 diabetes? Tell us what you think is going on here.
Well, from the basic science viewpoint, most people know that you get too many white blood cells out in the periphery that recognize self, and of course those white blood cells kill the insulin-secreting cells. So the good news is now we can kill those bad white blood cells, but there's even better news, and that was uncovering the ability of even adult animals to rapidly regrow some of their self tissues once the disease was removed.
So if you can knock out those bad white blood cells, then the body can repair itself, basically, what you're saying.
Well, we know at least the body of the mice can repair itself.
Okay.
And, of course, we're hopeful that this can gradually be translated to humans.
How will you go about doing that?
Well, there's two major steps that we need to take. One step is that we need to make sure humans have the same defects as the mice. Some of these defects that we see in the mice that are treatable have actually been discovered by other labs to be present in people with autoimmune lupus and autoimmune Crohn's disease. So we now need to make sure that these defects are present in type 1 diabetics. And then we need to gradually move it from a blood assay in people or a blood test in people to therapy, which, of course, will be done by my colleagues here at the Mass General Hospital, including Dr. David Nathan.
Mm-hmm. And then you might move on to human trials of this idea?
Yes. You know, of course, trials take a long time to do as well as drug development, but a mouse experiment's not the finale if we can't move to humans eventually.
Mm-hmm. Now, type 1 is normally called juvenile diabetes. You're born with that.
Yeah, I don't know if you necessarily say you're born with it, but it's the disease that has an onset during childhood, typically,
right.
and you need insulin as soon as you get the disease, because without insulin, it's lethal.
And what about this, applying this to type 2? We're seeing a lot more, right, of kids and adults getting type 2 because of obesity?
Yes, yes. We've had many emails from people saying, I still want to eat my steak and fries. can you regrow my eyelids, too? And we don't know the answer to that question yet. Certainly, it's encouraging to find out that there's a progenitor cell for eyelid regrowth in the spleen.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to see if the therapy works as well in type 2 diabetic mice as it does in type 1 diabetic mice, and eventually humans as well.
Let me ask you to speculate a little bit more like we did 2 years ago, because you said something very intriguing, that the kind of autoimmune disease that the people with diabetes have is the same that might apply to other autoimmune disease like lupus and other things.
Yes, I don't even think we need to speculate. I think a lot of people are now coming to a very unified conclusion that many of these autoimmune diseases, there's more than 50 of them out there, and they're actually fairly common, from psoriasis to type 1 diabetes to rheumatoid arthritis to multiple sclerosis. Many of these diseases may have common bad white blood cells. So indeed, many of the therapies that are currently out there are used in multiple autoimmune diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And the method, one of the methods that we're using in these mice has already been described by others to be found in human white blood cells.
Well, if you knock out the bad white blood cells, what prevents them from coming back again?
Oh, now that's a good question. We indeed thought that in these spontaneously diabetic mice, we might have to retreat 4 months later or 6 months later. And indeed, the disease never reoccurred. So the bad selection process of good white blood cells and bad white blood cells that initiated the disease did not reoccur in the animal model, which is very encouraging.
Do you know why?
No, we don't know exactly. We always like good news, so we're not trying to make it reoccur in these mice.
But would it not indicate to you, well, maybe, you know, I don't know how long mice, 2 years is a long time in the life of a mouse.
Yes.
But it didn't occur at all in their lifetime?
No
kidding.
You know, we followed hundreds of these animals throughout their entire lifespan, which is very difficult to do, very expensive to do, and they're healthy, and they live out their entire life without recurrent disease.
Let me see if I can get a phone call or two in here. Let's go to Carol in San Francisco. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I am curious, and I wonder if the doctor doing this research had any serendipity occur, any unexpected thing as a result of, you know, a surprise that was... sometimes these things are come out of the wastebasket. But was there any serendipity in this experimental protocol?
I'd say that the 10 years of work to identify these compounds was not serendipity, but how we designed the experiment to find out that the pancreas regenerated was obviously not planned. And I should just mention on a human interest side of the story, we actually were fairly depressed in the lab when we took out the islet transplants and were waiting for the blood sugar to go up. We couldn't explain it, and at first we thought it was very bad news because the experiment didn't turn out like we wanted it. So at that point we had to look for new answers, and that's exactly how we found out the rapid regrowth.
Sure, I remember you telling us you were upset because you thought it was going to go down, right?
You think I was upset. My postdocs in my lab were even more upset.
But that's an interesting way of how research, it's an interesting story how research happens, you know, out of left field, something happens that you don't expect.
Yeah, and you have to look at the answer and keep reevaluating to make sure you've got the right answer. And then when you get an answer like that, you repeat it and repeat it and repeat it to make sure it's right.
Let's go to another phone call. We got a minute. Debbie in Boulder. Hi, Debbie.
Hi. My son, who's 7, has had diabetes since he's 4.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, he's now what do they call out of the honeymoon stage, which is all his islet cells are supposedly dead. Does that mean that he cannot grow them back?
Well, of course, for humans, we don't know the answer yet.
Right.
But there's a couple little bits of encouraging human data. And that is the fact that many people haven't been able to explain why, even after the honeymoon period, children such as your son continue to make autoantibodies.
Uh-huh.
And some of these children continue to make these byproducts of islet damage for 10 or 12 years after the disease supposedly stopped. And so now we look at that data and say, well, maybe they're actually trying to regenerate, but they just cannot do it. So there's actually human data out there to say that the disease could be much more active longer than we ever thought it could be.
Right, Debbie, thanks for calling. So what about the spleen? You mentioned that it's a great, is it something now totally new? We have to look at it, so to speak, under a new light?
Yes, and it certainly suggests to me I don't want to give mine up.
Yeah, they cut it out. You know, you get an injured spleen, they cut it right out.
Yeah.
Might it be important to keeping us healthy?
Yes. And so after we got this data, we went back to look at the human literature. And there's an old historical literature out of Great Britain on performing pancreatectomies for pancreatitis. And half of those surgeries were done with removing the spleen and half were done without removing the spleen. And that human data shows that the half that got the spleen removed within 5 years had 52% incidence of diabetes.
Wow.
So there's human data out there to say that there's an intricate relationship, even into adulthood, possibly between the health of the spleen and the health of the pancreas.
And maybe the other immune diseases, too.
Could possibly be as well.
And we didn't even talk about arthritis or stuff like that.
Yes. Well, we can't do everything, so we're hoping our scientific colleagues pitch in and help us out here.
Well, we're gonna. We'll have to stay tuned, Dr. Faust.
Okay.
I don't want you to wait 2 years. If it takes 2 years, okay. What are you doing next? I got about 30 seconds. Where do you go from here? What are we gonna wait for next?
Well, we're doing a lot of human blood, and we're also studying in detail this pancreatic islet regeneration.
All right, so you'll come back.
Okay, if I get invited. Thank you.
You have an open invitation. Let us know.
Okay, thank you so much.
Dr. Denise Faustman, Associate Professor of Medicine at Harvard Medical School and Director of the Immunobiology Lab at Mass General Hospital in Boston. She joined us from her office there with the really interesting news, update news about how research goes and how this applies to everyday life and affects all of us.